so grateful to be a part of this service, and he is so good to us. I just feel the presence of the Lord in this place, and I want to sing the song that's entitled, This Place. And you know what? Anything can happen in this place if we just believe. Hearts can be mended, ears can be opened, eyes can be opened, bodies can be healed. It can all happen right here. Y'all just reach out as I sing this song in this place. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hear our cry. Be lifted high in this place. Lord, we want you. No one else will do in this place. Chains are broken. Escúchanos, te exaltamos hoy aquí. Queremos más, nadie más lo hará. Tu gracia extiendes, hay milagros.
Man, we serve a great God, and I'm so thankful I know who God is. You may be seated. I just want to say that if it wasn't for Jesus Christ, this old boy that witnessed to me years before I came to church, I looked him up after 3 or 4 years, and he was still living for God, still on fire for God. And I remember when I knocked on his door and he answered that door, he had that same Holy Ghost smile. And I said, man, he said, Danny Aper, is that you? I said, yeah. I said, I can't live like this anymore. And so, man, he began to tell me about who Jesus was. And he told me like he meant it. You know what I'm saying? He was being a witness unto him. And, man, he's so crazy. He wore tennis shoes to church. And somebody asked him why he wore tennis shoes. He says, because I want to jump the highest that the rapture takes place. I want to be the first to go. And but he said, come on in the house after he told me about who Jesus was. And he gave me a little Bible study about the oneness of God. And then he picked up that guitar and he got to singing, I'm a one God apostolic tongue talking holy roller born again believer in the liberated power of Jesus' name. I was washed in the blood. And he sang that song, and it was kind of corny, but it was like real. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I mean, here I was, I listened to all that rock music and stuff, but here he is playing a guitar, acoustic guitar, singing about a one God apostolic, but Holy Ghost got all over me. And that Wednesday night when I went to church, God got a hold of me, cut me in half, and everything bad fell off. I want to say that I feel that same spirit generating here. I believe that God has souls that he's going to bring in if we could come together in the unity of the faith, amen. And lift up your pastor's hands and let him know that, man, this battle is ours to win, amen, yeah. That the gates of hell shall not prevail. And that's our destiny. The gates of hell shall not prevail, amen, because we know what this church was built on. And so let's all stand for the reading of the word of the Lord. You're going to think it's a little strange, these scriptures for an anniversary service, but just hang with me and you'll see what I'm talking about, because I want us to get to the place. Go to Numbers chapter 11, verse number 1, and then we'll go to Numbers 11, 4 through 6. But Numbers chapter 11, verse 1 says, and when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled. So people began to complain, and it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled. Now go down to verse number 4, and it says, and the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? And we remember the fish, which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlics. But now our soul is dried away. Now, man, they got to think about what they used to have. And he says, now our soul is has dried away. There is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. Now, you may be seated, but I want you to understand that they were delivered from bondage. They were delivered from the slavery of Egypt. They were on their way to the promised land, but they became nostalgic. All of a sudden, they began to think about what they used to have. They began to think about what was behind them. And all we got's manna. They were being fed by God, and they were upset about that. They didn't like what they were being fed. And so all of a sudden now they got to complaining and griping, and they said, man, we remember the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the garlics and the onions, and now our soul is dried away. And I'm thinking when I'm reading this, where were they? What happened in between that time that they were delivered to now they're over here griping and complaining? Well, maybe because they were told they were going to a place of milk and honey, but all they was getting in manna, amen. And they kind of got self. We want it now. We kind of like that. Amen. Apostolics are kind of like that. We want everything right now. We are a religion of action. Amen. And that's what's wrong. We shouldn't be a religion. We're supposed to be an experience with God and not a religion. But when longer we're in this, it becomes a religion. It becomes something that belongs to us and not to God anymore. Amen. but they were delivered from bondage and slavery. Now, if I'm not mistaken, Romans 1:21 says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Here God delivered them, set them free, but they became vain in their imagination. Their foolish hearts were darkened. They began to look at slavery as something that was good. They forgot the beatings. They forgot the toil, the hours of toiling and getting bricks and finding straw and building all this stuff. They began to forget about all those things, and all they could think about was what their flesh enjoyed, what their flesh desired. Amen. The word vain means worthless, purposeless, pointlessness. They became vain in their imagination. It was meaningless. What they were thinking about didn't have any purpose to it. Amen. Vain imagination means they turned from thinking by divine revelation to their own empty theories of truth. Amen. They forgot that divine revelation of what God gave them, getting them out of Egypt, getting them out of slavery, and they began to think about what they thought was more important to them than following after God and accepting what God had done. So I want to talk tonight about nostalgia, the damaging action of worshiping the past. The damaging attraction to worshiping the past. We do not need to worship the past. The past is the past. That's why Solomon said, if the tree falls to the east or the west, there it lies. What good is you to go back? Oh, I don't want it to fall that way. I'm going to go pick it up and move it to the other direction. What good is it? It already fell. You can't change the fact that it fell. Amen. And that's what we're talking about here. That's the damaging attraction to worshiping the past. Don't let your past be present, because your history is not your destiny. Your future is your destiny. Amen. What God has in store for this church is your destiny. And God wants to show you that the best is yet to come. This church has been prepared for years to have a revival that's going to show people who Jesus Christ is. Amen. And now's the time to strike. Now's the time to understand what God's trying to do in this last day. See, dwelling exclusively on the past events or decisions can be negative consequences. They can bring negative consequences. Dwelling on the past causes stagnation. Constantly dwelling on the past can prevent you from moving forward. You're always thinking about the past. That's what they did. They forgot about the promised land. They forgot about the milk and honey. All they could remember was the garlic and the leeks and the onions and all those things. So they became stagnant in their thinking. Another thing that happens, negative consequences of looking to your past, is regret. Because you're focusing on all your past mistakes. See, you can't think back without finding mistakes also. God said they're dead and gone. Once it's under the blood, it's under the blood. He takes our sin and throws them as far as the east is to the west. That's in opposite directions. He takes our sins and throws them behind his back. Amen. He throws them into the depths of sin. And who can get to the back of God to get your sin? God's omnipotent. He's omnipresent. Amen. He's everywhere. The devil cannot get to the back of God to pull your sins back out. Amen. Amen. You got to understand that. So quit focusing on the past and start focusing on what God has for you. Another negative consequence is a loss of focus. You're contemplating on the past, and it's going to distract you from the present moment, that what God's trying to do productively in your life. He wants to bring you somewhere. Number four is negative comparisons. All of a sudden now, you start comparing your current situation with past experiences. Oh, if we could have revival like they did in the 20s, if we could have revival, I'm telling you what, that's gone. That has nothing to do with us. We draw from that and understand the sacrifice those men made, but I can't look back on that and say, oh, I wished I was back then, because I'm not back then, amen. But the same God that was back then is the same God that's now, amen. And if I quit looking to the past to try to compare myself with what's going on back, well, we're not having revival like they did, because the America's not like it was when they were there. Amen. Yeah. There's a whole different ball game now. Then you got limited perspective. That's another negative thing that comes along with nostalgia, looking back to the past. You're relying solely on your past experiences that may limit your ability to see the possibilities and the perspectives that God has for the church. God has this church going forward. He wants the church to be militant. He wants us to stand up, amen? He wants us to preach Jesus like we've never preached Jesus before. And I don't care who tries to intimidate you, you ought to not be intimidated. intimidated, amen. You ought to declare Jesus more today than you ever have before, because he's coming back, amen. He's preparing a church, and I want to be a part of that. And then the last thing is missed opportunities. Constantly looking back, you fail to recognize or seize opportunities of growth, learning, and positive change in the present and in the future. Amen. I want to go forward. While it's important to acknowledge and learn from the past, it's equally important to maintain a healthy balance and focus on the present moment and on your future spiritual situations and aspirations that are going to come. We got to have balance when we're talking about looking back, amen? There's a reason we look back, but it's not to compare ourselves with what's back there. We look at what the sacrifice was and make sure that in our day and time, we're going to sacrifice in the same manner. We're going to preach that same Jesus. They preached Jesus without fear or favor of man, and that's why we're here today. And if we want this church to prosper, we're going to have to preach Jesus also. I talked to your pastor. I talked to Pastor John Reed out, and he has that passion. He wants to preach Jesus. He wants people to come to the knowledge of who Jesus Christ is. I see it in his eyes when I talk to him. He has a passion and a burden for reaching his community. That's what he talks about. I want to reach the community, but at the same time, he wants to feed you so that you're lacking nothing. Amen. I'm here to tell you that a church that has everything that this church has, we ought to be exploding onto the streets. Amen. We ought to be exploding into this movement, into this community, and let people know there's a God that's able to change their situation. Somebody say praise the Lord. Many churches and ministries start out in a place of power, then evolve into a museum that ends up to be a prison house. Altars of fire become artifacts, and miracles become methods. Now you don't expect a miracle unless you call in some big time special preacher that's going to come and wave a microphone at you and tell you you're going to be healed. We've turned it into a method and not God's miracle anymore. God doesn't need a man to wave a microphone at you to get you to be healed. Amen. He doesn't want you to go run all across the state and the cities to other places. Oh, this guy's that healer's preaching over there. I'm going to go. No, you can find healing right here, because this church is God's church. Amen. This is where everything happens, right here. And man, you got to make sure that you understand that. Man, people end up powerless, and they don't believe that they can get past their shortcomings and their difficulties. They believe that they're just trapped in that situation, and so they get discouraged and disheartened. Amen. 1 Chronicles 12:32 says, "And the children of Issachar," I love this scripture, "and the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times and to know what Israel ought to do, the heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were at their command." Now, I like this because 1 Chronicles chapter 12 shows us the warriors that linked hearts with David. Each tribe had its own outstanding skill in war, but the children of Issachar are highlighted because it says they were men who understood the times, amen, and knew what Israel ought to do. I'm here to tell you right now that's what Pastor Readout needs. He needs men that understand the time that we're living in, amen, and knows what the church needs to do. Don't need to be harassed or picked up or brought up. Man, they need to be on fire for God and understand the time you're living in. We're living in the last days, amen. Amen. Look at Romans 13:11-12. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of your sleep. It's time we wake up. Amen. It's time we become men that understand the time that we're living in. Amen. And know how the church ought to go, what the church needs to do. Amen. High time to wake out of your sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Amen. So that brings me to the question. As the believers in the world today, how well do we understand the times that we're living in? If you look around you can see that it's so depressing seeing what this world's going through. And people are so blind that they can't even look around them and see it, amen? They can't even be moved by what's going on in the world today. America has dignified the lies of radical activists and who view the nuclear family as a threat to their progress. They've been chipping away at the foundation of the family for years, amen? And And we get upset because they took prayer out of school, but we took it out of our homes long before they took it out of schools, amen. We need to understand the time we're living in, and it's going to take men of prayer. It's going to take men of fasting. It's going to take a church that knows what their job is, amen. We've got to understand the time that we're living in and how the church needs to go about it, amen. They're now pushing gender identity, gender diversity, gender dysphoria. Parents are lining up to change their five-year-old's gender. Teachers are encouraging 6- and 7-year-old children to change their pronouns. When I was 6 years old, I didn't know what a pronoun was. But I knew what a mother and a father was, amen. You hear what I'm talking about? Don't let this world intimidate you. It doesn't have him. This belongs to Jesus Christ. Amen. And every time we step out these walls of this church, it belongs to him. Don't you back down. Don't you cave in. Don't you give up. My God's got the answer for all of that. Amen. Every facet of the American life is being torched by the painful void. It's our national crisis. That's what it is. All this stuff with our children, that's a national crisis. That's what the crisis is that nobody's standing up for the children. Nobody's standing up for sinners anymore. Nobody's telling them that they're wrong. Nobody's telling, man, we need to have another John the Baptist come along. Well, John the Baptist pointed people to Jesus, yeah? And we need a John the Baptist nowadays to point us to the return of Jesus, amen? We need to look at Jesus all over again and see what he can do in our life. We need somebody that's going to be bold, somebody that's going to stand up. And that's why I appreciate your pastor tonight, because I know that he has that boldness. He has that wisdom and knowledge of who Jesus Christ is. Come on, church, you either believe it or you don't believe it. You either going to tell people about it or you're not going to tell people about it. But if you don't, I wonder if you really do have the power of God in you. Amen. I've got enough inside of me that likes a good fight every now and then. Amen. I'm not going to let anybody push me around with their doctrine, because it's false, it's man-made, but the truth will make people free, amen. What are we doing now? Man, we're like lifeguards who can't swim. Somebody say praise the Lord. I'm going to tell you something. If we don't get a hold of this truth and start sharing it with people, it'll drive us to a revival or to it would be remembered as the cause of our death. We'll die if we don't take this message that Jesus told us to take. Amen. We need some John the Baptist. We need some Peters and Pauls. We need people that are going to stand up and start telling people about Jesus. Amen. And I know, man, they faced persecution. People came against them. I'm sorry, but we can only teach and preach what we've seen and heard. Amen. And that's what it is with me. I love telling people about who Jesus is. And they can't deny what God's done for me. I got my 50th high school reunion coming up, and they called me and said, you will make sure you'll come. We want you to pray before everything. How come they're asking me to pray before everything? Because they know who I am. They know that I haven't quit after these 50 years. They saw what God did in my life. They saw me when I was a nobody, but now they see me when I'm God's somebody, amen, that God has put something in me that they can't have unless they come to the knowledge of who he is. I sit at a table, and there's 20 or 15, 20 of them get around me and say, tell us again how you got saved. Tell us again about what happened in your life. And I get to tell them about Jesus all over again. And they say, man, it's lasted that long. You better believe it's lasted that long, and it'll last until God comes back. Amen. People want to hear your story. They want to hear your testimony. They want to hear about who Jesus is, how he impacted your life. Amen. Man, I life isn't easy. I've had problems like everybody else had, but I know in whom I believe, amen, and I'm not going to back down. That's why it's important for us to understand, church, that your pastor is trying to lead you into a dimension that's going to reach out to this world all over again to preach this message, amen, to preach this gospel, to let people know who Jesus is. Man, just as the Israelites said to Aaron when Moses wasn't with them, he was on the mountaintop, they said, come, make us gods. That's where the world is today. America is screaming that same thing in the absence of Jesus Christ. Come make us gods. That's why they're so caught up in themselves. That's why they're caught up in their entertainment and their sports, because they want a God for themselves, because they ain't got nobody telling them about the one true God. So they're doing this because it's the absence of Jesus Christ in their life. And we need to make sure that they get introduced to Jesus. We need to make sure that they know who Jesus Christ is. Amen. That he's God manifest in the flesh. And you tell them the story about how God manifest himself in the flesh and how he died for them, how he rose again, amen? And you're going to see what God's going to do, but you're going to have to preach the same message that Peter preached. And let me tell you, Peter doubted and he even denied Jesus, but something got a hold of him, amen? He got a hold of that revelation of who Jesus Christ was, and on the day of Pentecost, he let them know. He preached the message, amen? And when he preached, he said, therefore, let all the house of Israel know surely that God hath made the same Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When they heard that, I'm here to tell you that people are not going to respond to your message if they don't know who Jesus Christ is. But when you tell them who he is, they're going to get pricked in their heart and say, what do I got to do? Amen. Just like me on that and that man, young boy's porch. What do I got to do? You got to repent. Get baptized in Jesus' name. Filled with the Holy Ghost. Why? Because I know who Jesus is. Man, you got to let them know who Jesus is. We're like lifeguards who can't swim. How can the saints rescue anyone while their own marriages, emotions, and values are sinking into the same sea of secular America? How can we make an impact if we don't have that same spirit that the apostles had, that on the day of Pentecost, they preached a message that shook the whole nation? I mean, they turned the world upside down. I like to say they turned it right side up. It was already upside down, amen? But God wants us to do that. Two men were talking, and one said to another, it's good to see somebody in the same boat that I am. And the other guy said, it ain't good if it's sinking. Man, quit looking at people and, oh, you know what? They're not excited either. Man, their boat's sinking. Don't get in that boat. Man, learn how to trust God with all your heart, amen. It's time for a new mighty authority. That's what I'm talking about. A new mighty authority and boldness to ignite the apostolic church to take back what the devil stole. During this COVID, the devil has stole a lot of things. He stole a lot of people's desire, their worship, and they think they could sit at home and watch it on a television or YouTube or whatever it is. I'm going to tell you something. You still need the pastor. You need that pastor in your life. If you're not sick, if you're not homebound, you need to be at church. You need to be there so your pastor can minister to you, amen, so that you can feel the power and the anointing of God and not get up and go get you something to drink while the preaching's going on. Ooh. Oh, that's a good message. Let me go get some Cheetos. Let me go get some Cheetos real fast. Or preach it. Y'all go ahead and laugh, but that's what's happened to America. That's what's happened to the church. The devil's sold us a lie, and the devil's trying to destroy everything that's taking place in our life. But we need to take back what the devil stole. We need to take back our services, amen. We need to take back people that are not here and say, you know what, you need to come to church. I'll come pick you up, amen. But I want you back in church. You know why? Because that's where the presence of God is. That's where you're going to find a vision and an answer to your problem, amen. Somebody shout praise the Lord. Man, I heard of a town dweller in Ireland, and he was upset with his butcher for charging too much for his bacon, so he raised a pig for his meat, for his own self. He raised him a pig. He said, man, that butcher's cheating us. He's costing too much money for our bacon. He said, so I'm going to raise me a pig for myself. And when it came time to slaughter the pig, he sent a note to the butcher which said, don't send me any more meat. I'm butchering myself. You go ahead and laugh. It's not necessary to wait for communism, Russia, and China from without to destroy America. These last 3 years, we've been butchering ourselves. Devil gonna give us enough rope, we're gonna hang ourselves. He's tried to tear down every foundation that God has laid down, but I got news for him. You can go ahead and chip away at it, but God is the architect, amen? You can't destroy this. There's nobody that can destroy the church of the living God, amen? Because he's the architect. He's the designer. He knows exactly what's going on. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. I'm here to tell you that day and night, the fathers, the foundations of our fathers are being dug up, and the principles on which we started are being destroyed. They're trying to destroy the marriage. They're trying to destroy the home. They're trying to destroy everything. Amen. Psalms 11:3 says, if the foundation be destroyed, what shall the righteous do? And so most Americans are under such a heavy sedation that they're not aware of what's going on around them. Can you believe that people aren't aware of what's going on around them, and they walk through life like their head bowed down like a bulrush or a weeping willow tree, and they can't lift up their eyes and see what's going on in the world that we're living in? Somebody needs to wake them up, and the only thing that's going to wake them up is what woke them up on the day of Pentecost. I don't care what your religion is. That's what Peter told him. I don't care who you say you serve. You're serving the wrong God. Amen. I tell you who Jesus is. Amen. You crucified him, and God made both Lord and Christ. I'm here to tell you, we need to bring that message back to these people and let them know that God's in charge of this situation. Man, don't you dare cow down. Amen. We need to pray that God might favor us with another John the Baptist. Ecclesiastes 7:10 says, why were the old days better than these? For it is not wise to ask such questions. Why do you look back and say, well, those days are better than these? Well, you know what? I wish we was back here in that Brush Harbor. Well, if it was in Texas, you wouldn't want to be in that Brush Harbor. They got mosquitoes big enough to carry your Bible to church. Oh, I wish we... No, you don't. And that's what he's saying here. Notice what he says in Ecclesiastes 7. Why were the old days better than these? For it's not wise to ask those questions. Why are you even asking that question? Why are you worried about what happened back then when you got something going to happen right now? Amen. Man, take the God that they have and put it right now. Yes. Amen? Somebody say praise the Lord. So the danger of idolizing the past and longing for what once was rather than embracing the opportunities and challenges of this present moment can cause great harm. And if you don't watch out, you're going to get so messed up looking back that you're going to run into a flagpole or something. I remember at ALI, brother. I'm not going to say his name. But he come walking out of the dorms and he was talking. He was talking a little trash to me, brother. Read out. He was picking on me. So he's over there looking at me, and if you've been to ALI, you know those handicap signs are about this high. They're not up there. They're like right there. So he's picking on me, and he says, bam! Because he was looking back. He was looking back at me. He couldn't see what was ahead of him. And that's why it's dangerous to look back. Man, you need to look forward. God wants you to go forward, amen? So God's faithfulness is seen throughout history, such as the Israelites' journey through the wilderness and God's provision for them. Reflecting on God's faithfulness in the past can provide encouragement and strengthen your faith for the future. The only reason I look back is to get that strength for the future, to see what God did in their life and say, God, do it in my life. I'm not going to pray for Moses to come back and part the Red Sea. That wouldn't do me any good. You understand what I'm saying? So reflecting God's faithfulness in the past can provide encouragement for you. As children of God, we need to find balance between honoring the past and living fully in the present, trusting in God's guidance and provision for the future. You've got to learn how to trust God, amen? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not into your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways. And what's he going to do? He's going to direct you. Wow. That means I'm not going to get misdirected.
That's right.
That's why I'm going to walk and I don't have to wonder where I got to go. The road forks. Not for Christians, it don't. You need to go straight forward. And that's what God's trying to show us. Exodus 2:23 says that it came to pass in the process of time. See, the process of time. There's a lot of people say, oh, I love Jesus with all my heart. There's a lot of people say, oh, Jesus is my all in all. And they love him with their heart. But notice in the process of time what it says here. In the process of time that the king of Egypt died and the children of Israel sighed by reason of bondage. So in the process of time, you could sit here and come to church in this last day and say that you're a Christian. You can come and say that you believe God. But in the process of time, what's in your heart's going to come out. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth is going to speak. So in time, the process of time, truth is going to come out. Amen. And I'm here to tell you that that's what God's trying to show us right now. That we don't need to look to the past, but we got to stay in the present. Amen. And we need to worship God in the present. I know the world's unsettled, but God is not, God's not troubled by this world situation. Man, God's not worried about what's going on. So you don't need to worry about it. Some people are worried, well, what's going to happen? Oh, man, nuclear bombs. Listen, this thing ain't over until God says it's over.
That's right. Come on.
Oh, but Brother Haber, I remember a preacher that was a prophecy preacher. I shouldn't say his name. But he was scaring everybody to death. I was in the army. I was in tanks. And I was at this meeting that he was in because I was one of the speakers. And he got there and he said, yeah, Russia's coming. Russia's going to kill us. Russia's going to take us over. They have 10 times more tanks than us. And I'm sitting back there thinking, dude, he don't even know what he's talking about. They got 10 times more tanks than us, but they're junk. They're junk. Well, Brother Abram, why do you say that? Well, those were the same tanks that Iraq had. Thousands of tanks, and not a one of them is there today. And we didn't lose one tank. And see, that's what I'm trying to tell you. There's people that are going to try to hoodwink you to believe in that everything's wrong. Not everything's not wrong. When you live for God, it's going to help you understand the time that you're living in, amen? And you'll know how the church is supposed to act and what the church is supposed to do. Let's give the Lord a hand clap. Let me hurry up. We need an answer for this world that we're living in. We need a fresh revelation of the one true God, and his name is Jesus. Yes. It's very easy to see the world from human perspective because of the onslaught of the chaos all around us. People are worrying and agonizing about what tomorrow's going to bring. And how much better is it if we understand the times from God's perspective? When you understand the times from God's perspective, you understand that he's sovereign. You understand that he's the architect. You understand that he designed all of this and nothing's going to happen without him letting it happen, amen? That he's in charge of all these things. Man, you got to understand that he's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end, amen? He's the Rose of Sharon. He's the Lily of the Valley. He's the Bread of Life, amen? But above everything else, he's God. John tells us that in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, amen. I'm here to tell you, you don't have anything to worry about, just trust in God, amen. Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. So the church responds by proclaiming the sovereignty of God. That's what Peter and John did when they called him in Acts 4:23-31. Says, man, you can't preach in that name anymore. And they had been given an unlawful command accompanied with threats of noncompliance. You are not to speak in the name of Jesus. Verse 18. And so the church responded by proclaiming the sovereignty of God and creation because they knew the time they were living in. They declared God is the ruler with absolute power. He made all things, and they weren't the work of man's hands, and they weren't the work of man's imagination. He is the all in all. He's the mighty God. Amen? And that's what God's trying to show us. Genesis 50:19-21, Joseph said to them, be not afraid, for I am in the place of God. When you're in the place of God, you don't have to be afraid of anything. You young people, listen to me. I know this world seems wicked. I know all the things it throws at you. You know that the devil works in young people. You look at the college campuses, it's the young people that they're destroying. He knows that their minds can be molded. And if the church isn't doing its job, guess what? Our kids would be out there doing the same thing. And you ought to thank God that you got a mom and dad that brings you to church and lets you understand the time that we're living in, amen, and what the church ought to do. And that's what I'm trying to show you, man. Don't give in to the things of this world. The devil's always worked on young people through music. He's worked on them through music. And that's where it all comes from. He wants to destroy the minds of young people. He wants to cause them to be confused and cause them not to believe that God can change their situation. Look at all the people that are lost. They're lost because they want to be lost, amen. But the only ones that can be saved are the ones that we tell about who Jesus Christ is, amen. You need to tell them who Jesus is. So rather than living with worry and fear, live with joy and boldness, amen. And I know that we've heard this so many times that we're approaching the end time. Musicians, come get ready. And we should live as children of God, seeking His direction for our daily walk. And I know that we've heard for the past 2,000 years, He's coming back, and they'll roll their eyes. Yeah, He's coming back. That mindset alone puts them directly in the Scripture. 2 Peter 3:3-5 says, knowing this first. I want you to know this first today. I want you to know this first. That there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust. If there's people scoffing, you need to know this first, that Jesus is coming back. Amen. Man, when you people start, and let me tell you, they're scoffing right now. They mock us. They laugh at us because all they know is those TV evangelists. All they know is those ones that know how to move their hand just right, and they put on a show, amen? Uh-huh. And they got all these little tricks and these little things that they put out there. And people say, oh, look at, they're so wonderful, amen? And they never tell you about Jesus. They never share the true gospel with you. So He's coming back, and we need to let them know. So knowing this first, that there should come in the last day scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of His coming? See, there's people that say, oh, well, we've heard this all our life. There's backsliders. We've heard that all our life. There's apostolic. We've heard this all our life. So I don't know why we go to church. We've heard that all along. I don't believe it anymore. And that's where the problem's coming in. So they're saying, where's the promise of His coming? For since our fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of. They're ignorant because they don't want to know the truth. Amen. But when somebody stands up, like Peter did on the day of Pentecost. Now, he wasn't the only one standing up. The other ones were standing up with him, if you read it right. Amen. And I'm here to tell you that we need to stand up as a body. We need to understand the hour that we're living in. We need to understand what God has for this church, the purpose. We need to lift up pastor's hands and say, you know what? We're going forward. We're going to be militant. We're going to tell people about who Jesus is. Amen. So they willfully forget God's creation and the judgment God poured out on the earth in the days of Noah. Now you listen to this preacher. The lesson taught by the flood was, this is a moral universe. This is a moral universe. Sin will not go unpunished. That's what God showed us in the flood. That there is a moral. There is a rule, a law. And immorality will not go unpunished. And Jesus Himself used the flood to point to this moral. But these men chose to neglect it. But in the last days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. And it goes on until the day that Noah entered to the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. How did they not know? He preached it for how many years? They were willfully ignorant. They didn't know until the flood came. Look at him building a boat, man. They never rain. Boy, what's he talking about rain? Look at the size of that boat. Now, if he would have built a canoe, they probably wouldn't have said anything. Or a bass boat or something. But he's building an ark, and they're laughing at him. And all of a sudden, the door's shut, and the rain's pounding, and the water's rising. They were probably over at the local bar, sitting on a stool, drinking and partying. And all of a sudden, they felt their feet get soggy. They got to say, what's going on? And then it got up to their waist, and they said, well, we better get out of here. And they start pushing their way out, and they see the ark over there. Got up around their chest, and they probably made their way over. I could only imagine how many were beating on that ark at that time, wanting to get in. Wanting to get in. But the Bible says that they didn't know until the flood came. It was too late. Let me tell you something. Jesus Christ is coming back, church. And I don't want to wait until it's too late. When the rapture takes place, I don't have another 4 years like an Olympic athlete has to train for another shot at a world record. I don't have another 4 years. I'm not like the baseball team that they didn't go to the World Series, but they got another year to go. It doesn't work that way with the rapture. And it didn't work that way with the flood, because when the flood came, they knew not the flood came and took them all away. So shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Lot lived in the vexation of Sodom. It finally bent his spirit. It dulled his perception, and it confused his morals. He didn't read the fine print that you can go to Sodom and Gomorrah, but you're going to lose your family. Like in the days of Noah and Sodom and Gomorrah, the verdict for America's self-compulsion. We're so self-compulsive. For years, we've been that way. We've paid dearly as a nation, and we're going to continue to pay in the loss of family and the loss of dignity and the loss of even good old common sense, which doesn't seem to be around very often anymore. America's lost all resemblance of a one nation under God. As they began to shake their fist. I remember in the 80s when I first got in church, when somebody backslid, they didn't talk about God. They didn't shake their fist. They didn't say it's not true. They just went their way because they knew that they were in truth. And they're going to dare speak against it. But now anybody speaks against it. Apostolics that have known this truth to speak against it. And they'll go about their way. These prodigal decades have emptied our churches and the soul of this nation. Elder Readout has been laying the foundation of this church for many years. But now, Pastor John, it's your destiny in this last day to lead this church through the chaos of this world. That's what God's calling you to do. He's laid the foundation. And when you look back on that foundation, you see the sacrifice he made. We don't look back as wishing that we could go do that again. It's already been laid. And when the foundation is laid, it's laid. I think Hebrews tells us that. When you learn to read, what's the first thing they teach you? A, B, C, D, E, F, G. And then once you learn how to read, when you pick up a book now and you're 45 years old, do you go A, B, C, D, E, F, G? No, that was the foundation was laid for reading. And now you just pick it up and you read. Amen? And so Brother Readout has laid, Pastor Elder Readout has laid the foundation for the church for many years. But now, Pastor John, it's your destiny in these last days to lead the church through the chaos of this world, speaking to the spiritual vacuum of this community. God's calling you to speak to that vacuum. To this community, and when I've sat with you and I've looked in your eyes and I saw tears come up many a time, and you started talking about your passion and your burden for souls. I remember when your neighbor was getting a Bible study, how excited you were. That's what I'm talking about. He's laid the foundation, and we thank God for that. But now it's your turn to take this thing even further. I want God to give you saints that have an understanding of the times to know what the church ought to do. Somebody in this church needs to stand up and sing, "Let me tell you about who Jesus is." Sometimes I walk into a store and I say, "Praise the Lord!" and scare them half to death. And I say, "I want everybody to smile." And you know what? They smile. Nobody's... They smile. I said, you know why I want you to smile? 44 years ago, God got a hold of me, man. I got baptized in Jesus' name, got the Holy Ghost. I was bad 44 years ago, but I'm here to tell you that we got a smile on our face today. And man, I get them all excited. I looked for somebody in there, and one guy, his name was Noah. I said, you got a lot to live up to, son. I love the ones named Joseph. I really give them a hard time. What am I doing? I'm taking control of the circumstance. I refuse to be pushed aside by this world that said we're irrelevant when we're not. They're irrelevant. We're relevant, amen? We need the spirit of the men of Issachar who understand the time and knew what the church should do to be a witness unto him. The ability to read the times is listed here as a weapon, the Bible says. Proverbs 29:18 warns, where there's no vision, the people perish. In other words, without a fresh revelation of God, fresh revelation, a church can die. You got to have a fresh revelation. You can't just go by what you heard years ago. Is it still real today? Remember when you first got that revelation of who Jesus Christ was? Woo! Sister Abra, a 15-year-old girl, got that revelation. What'd she do? Could you teach us every night? Could we have more service? When's the last time we asked pastors to do that? Brother John, can we have service every night? No, because most of us come, like the Bible says in Nehemiah, we come from the valley of Ono. Oh no. Not another service. Oh no. I'm so thankful that I'm here to bring this message tonight to let you know that God has set this thing in motion. From the past to the present, Pastor Readout has worked and has given everything that he can give. And the baton, the mantle has been passed to Pastor John. You hear what I'm talking about? You see, you need to stop looking in the past, nostalgia, yearning for the past. The book of 2 Kings, and here's where I'm finished. 2 Kings chapter 2 records this classic resistance to change. Elijah the prophet was being called home. Y'all remember that story? He's being called home. A new name is emerging, Elisha, the servant of Elijah. I'm not saying you're being called home. But you know what I'm talking about here. And a new name emerged. Elisha. Now I want you to understand this, and I want you to listen to me real close, church, because this is very important. Elijah the prophet is being called home. A new name emerges. Elisha, the servant of Elijah. And Elijah made his fiery exit, and Elisha took up his mantle. Now, he said, I want a double portion. He said, well, if you see me take it away, you'll get that double portion. Now, I want you to understand, there were 50 sons of the prophets that were on the other side of the river. They saw when Elijah took that mantle and Elisha followed him and he smote the river and the river parted and they went to the other side. They saw that. They didn't see the fiery chariot pick up Elijah. They just saw that Elisha was the only one left. And Elisha picked up the mantle and he walked right back over to that same river and he slapped it down. And God was no respecter of Elijah or Elisha. He is God. And that mantle represented God, amen. And notice the waters parted as they had parted for the old prophet, and the river made no distinction between Elijah and Elisha. But the river knew the anointing of God. And I'm here to tell you tonight that yes, Pastor Readout, Clifford Readout has passed the baton or passed the mantle over, but Brother John Readout now has that mantle, amen. And as he has that mantle, God said, that's the anointing, the same anointing his father had, that's what he has, amen. But see, that wasn't good enough. Those 50 sons of the prophet, they didn't eat breakfast. Their blood sugar was kind of out of whack. They saw him part the river. But they said, hey, look, we know that God just did something, but do you mind if we go look for Elijah? That's what they said. We saw what happened in the present, but we like the past. We like that guy back there. And they said, do you mind if we go look for him? We think God might have dropped him off at a mountain somewhere. They missed the present. Pastor Clifford Readout worked so hard to get this church to where it's at right now. He has laid a foundation that no man can shake. And the mantle's been passed to Pastor John Readout. And you can think about nostalgia. You can think about all the things in the past. Or you can say, you know what? I'm in the present. I want to be a part of this. I want to be a part of what Elisha is going to do. Amen. I want to be a part of that. I want to see what God's doing. Every head bowed, every eye closed. How ridiculous were those 50 sons of the prophet to still go looking for a memory when God had deposited the future right at their hand? Mighty gifts of callings are being delayed because we want to search for Elijah's body. We're going to get caught up like the children of Israel in nostalgia, thinking about, oh, well, this it wasn't that all bad in the past. Pastor Readout might say, I can tell you different. But I'm here to tell you, church, that what's happening here tonight is that God is showing you what's in the present. God is taking the mantle that Pastor Clifford Readout has given to his son, that dropped off to his son. And this generation, it's not covered by memorabilia or paraphernalia. It's the point that God said, I'm going to give the vision to Pastor John. The point's clear. We have to find the mantle, not the body of the prophet. We aren't seeking Elijah. We're seeking Elijah's God. And if you want to know anything, or if you know anything about Pastor Readout, you know who his God is. Yes. You hear what I'm talking about? Yes. I know who Pastor Readout's God is, and I know who Pastor John Readout's God is. Yes. And he's dropping us off right here tonight for us to come to the place that we say, you know what? I want to be like the sons of Issachar. I want to be like them. I want to know the time that we're living in. And I want to go forward. I don't want to go backwards. Pastor John, we're going to help lift your hands up, and we're going to be praying, and we're going to fight this battle for you. And when you find yourself down in the dungeon, we're going to help you up, but we're not just going to pull you out. We're going to throw those rags down there to put under your arms because we love you and we respect you, and we're going to help you get back up. Amen. Moses needed somebody, didn't he, to lift up his hands in the battle? And that's what God's saying right now. We've got a future here, church. We got a future that God's moving us towards. And we got to come to the place that we understand that it is what God's favor is and God's goal is and God's desire is for us to move forward from this place on. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I don't know. I don't know what's happening to a lot of churches today, but the heritage that's been passed down to you from Clifford Readout is being preserved in Pastor John Readout. God's bringing him into this place, and God's giving him a vision and a passion and a burden. And each year you're going to see him grow. Each year you're going to see his vision get brighter. And it's up to us to understand the time that we're living in and understand what he's trying to do. And to stand behind him with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength and say, you know what? I'm going forward with you, Pastor. You go ahead and lead us. We're going to go find people that need you. Amen. We're going to tell people about who Jesus is. We're going to tell people about who Jesus is. And I can't emphasize that enough to get you to understand that no matter what anybody else says or no matter what anybody else does in this world, we know who Jesus is. God, I pray for for Pastor John Readout and his family tonight, Lord. I pray that you touch his heart, his mind, his soul, Lord. God, I pray that you'll open a door that no man can shut. I pray that you give him insight, Lord, and let him find favor with you, Lord. God, the word that had been buried down in his heart, Lord, as he studies and he brings that word out, let him serve it to these people so that they can draw strength of it, Lord. God, I pray that somehow you use him in such a mighty way that he begins to understand how much powerful, awesome Holy Ghost he has in him, Lord. God, I pray that you let him recognize who he is, that he has the blessing of his Father. And God, that he's taken what his Father put in him. And even though we said when he was young, he walked away from it, but there's something that he couldn't shake from it, amen. And now God has prepared him to minister to people just like him. People that are lost, people that are hurting, people that are running from something. But God now has put that mantle on Pastor John Readout, and now he has the mantle, and he's going to show the anointing of God in his life. He's going to be able to speak the problems and situations. You're going to see God bless you and turn those things around. God picked him from his heart. He was God's heart pick from the very beginning. And the anointing that is coming with that, friend, you better hold on, because he's going to take you on a ride. He's going to take you into a place that God's going to bless you. But you'll never forget who Jesus Christ is. You'll never forget the teaching that you have. That's the foundation, but now you've got to add to that foundation. You can't be satisfied. God, help me add to my faith virtue, and the virtue knowledge, and the knowledge temperance, and the temperance patience, and patient godliness, godliness brother kindness charity. God, let us add these things to our life, Lord, so that we can make an impact on this world. This world needs to hear who Jesus is. The grocery stores are a harvest field. Going through there and getting people to laugh and smile, there's nothing like it. Because you're declaring that that area belongs to Jesus Christ and nobody else. Elijah picked up the mantle and he crossed the river. And when it fell from Elijah, Elisha picked it up and he smote that same river and went back to the other side where the sons of the prophets were. They bowed down to him, but yet they said, "Do you mind if we go look for Elijah?" Some of you are looking to the past. Some of you are trying to remember what it was like when you were on fire for God. That's gone. The tree's fallen. You need to find the fire now. I say you need to find the fire now. You need to get renewed in the Spirit of the Lord and let God change your situation. If you're going to remember, remember where God brought you from. And don't go any further back than the fact that he brought you from something. And get on your face and cry out to God and say, "God, I want that same fire burning in me. I want to be able to lift up pastor's hands. I want to see this city saved. I want to see our people in this church on fire for God. I want to be a blessing to everybody that's here." And when you do that, I got a feeling everything's going to be all right. Brother Abraham, you don't know. I don't, but God does. But I know that the mantle has been passed. And Brother John ran from this truth for so long. But when the mantle fell from Pastor Readout, he picked up that same mantle and said, "Where's the God of my father?" He received that same anointing and that same blessing. And God's trying to prepare this church to reach a community. But you got to get bold. You got to listen to your pastor. You got to grab a hold of his vision and say, "I'm not going back. I'm not looking back. I'm going forward. because my hope, my destiny is the future. Your destiny is the future, amen. Other religions look to the past, but Christianity looks to the future, amen. Your destiny is the future. Let's all stand. Let's all stand and let's go to the Lord. Let's lift up our hands and let's begin to pray and ask God to help us understand. Let us be like the sons of Issachar, the children of Issachar. Let us be like them, amen. Let us come to the place in our life that we understand what God's trying to do, amen. I want to be like the children of Issachar. I want to be like the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times. Do you understand what time we're living in? We're living in the last day. Oh, I've heard that before, Brother Abraham. No, you need to wake up and look at it now. You need to look at it through God's eyes now. You need to look at what's breaking God's heart now. What they're doing to our children in this country. What they're doing to our families in this country. You need to wake up and you need to open your eyes and say, I want to be like the children of Issachar. I want to understand the time that I'm living in. And I want to know how the church, what the church ought to do. Amen. Lead us, Pastor Reedow. Lead us into the future. Lead us. And from this present time on, Lord, let us have that vision, Lord. Let us see this community through your eyes, Lord. God, place your burden. Place your burden, Pastor John, on us. Place your burden on us. Share your vision with us. Hallelujah. As they sing, I want us to begin to worship God. Are you willing to be like the children of Issachar? Are you willing to be like the children of Issachar? Do you understand the time you're living in? Do you understand what God's trying to do right now? God blessed you so many years with a pastor that laid a sure foundation. And his mantle has been passed to Pastor John Reed, out his son. And now he's going to lead you into the future. He's going to take this present situation and prepare you for the future. Come on. Are you ready to move forward? Are you ready to move forward? Are you ready to take charge of your life? God's trying to talk to us tonight. God's trying to talk to us tonight. Come on, purpose in your heart that you're going to listen to this pastor. That you're going to let him feed you so that you lack nothing. He's going to feed you to give you strength to reap a harvest. He's pulling this church together. Come on, we need a fresh revelation of God's authority in the ministry. We need a fresh revelation of what God's